Three Democrats and two Republicans have announced their candidacies for governor next year, with several more people likely to jump in. This will be the first wide-open race for governor without an incumbent in 16 years. Governor Tony Evers recently announced he won't seek a third term.
My impression is that the Democratic bench for governor this time around, there's a lot of young talent, but not a lot of name recognition and experience.
And the same would be true for the GOP so far in terms of lower profiles. We're going to talk about who's in, who's out, and who is in the best position to win on today's Center Stage with Milford and Hands, the Wisconsin State Journal's political podcast from the Sensible Center of Wisconsin Politics. I'm Scott Milford. I'm the opinion editor for the State Journal.
And I'm Phil Hands. I'm the editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal.
And we are two-fifths of the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board.
The two-fifths that has not announced their candidacy for governor yet.
You keep saying you're going to run for Secretary of State, Phil, but you never pull the trigger.
Horribly qualified for it. Horribly qualified.
Speaking of Secretary of State, the current Secretary of State and former State Treasurer,
Sarah Godlewski,
is now running for Lieutenant Governor. Thankfully, not Governor.
Yeah, she's going right after the most important job in Wisconsin, Lieutenant Governor.
She's going after one of the three least important jobs for state government, but that's a pretty good move for her.
Sure.
As do-nothing jobs go,
the track record of recent lieutenant governors having success politically is pretty not great.
And it's never been great.
No.
At least in the last 50 years.
Scott McCollum, boy governor, right?
And Marty Schreiber.
Who?
Martin Schreiber.
Who?
Like Scott McCollum, Marty Schreiber inherited the governor's job when the sitting governor left for a federal position. Also like McCollum, he promptly lost his own election for governor. But let's talk about 2026, when a new governor will be elected. That's only 14 months away. David Crowley just announced.
He's currently the county executive in Milwaukee County, right?
That's right. And he's a former state lawmaker. I would say not very well known outside of Milwaukee, but if you get a large crew of Democrats running, you never know who can peel off the most.
I guess so. I'm not sure his name recognition is significantly lower than other people's name recognition either.
But based on Tony Evers' win in a primary 8 years ago that had more than 10 Democrats running, it seems to me if there's going to be a big field, name recognition means a lot. I guess the question is, how well can he draw in Milwaukee County?
You know, he might do very well in Milwaukee County. He just got a big lift. He got endorsed by Chevy Johnson, who has the best nickname in all of politics in Wisconsin, Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of Milwaukee. Looks like he's not going to run, and he's endorsing Crowley. And so that could be key to the race if you can turn out Milwaukee in a major way.
From outside of Milwaukee County, my impression of David Crowley is a guy who can work with other people to get things done. Why do I say that? Because he worked with the Republican legislature to get a shared revenue deal done for local governments, including Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite a feat. I'm just saying that's sort of my impression of him, is a guy who maybe is a little bit more moderate and can work with people. But I don't know if that's what works in the Democratic primary.
His pragmatism could be considered a flaw for Democratic primary voters.
On the other hand, he grew up in poverty and is a success story.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody's going to outdo him on the left when it comes to understanding, say, poor people, hardworking people.
Probably not.
And of course, he would be the first black governor of Wisconsin. But the first Democrat to announce a bid for governor was Sarah Rodriguez.
She announced like the day after Tony Evers got out of the race.
And she's Tony Evers' lieutenant governor,
yeah,
former state lawmaker, former nurse, so smart about health care, but still lieutenant governor. I mean, pretty low profile.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know who you talk about Crowley not having a lot of name recognition. Mm-hmm. I don't think Rodriguez has a lot of name recognition either.
No. And she'll say, well, I won statewide.
I won statewide.
But that's not, I mean, yes, she was on the ballot with Tony Evers and won, but that's not the same thing.
I mean, Mickey Mouse can win statewide if they picked to be the lieutenant governor in Wisconsin.
Mickey Mouse is likable, though.
He's likable. Is Mickey Mouse more likable than Sarah Rodriguez? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But that's the thing. I don't know. She's a pretty low-profile politician. She would be the first woman governor.
She didn't make any major mistakes as lieutenant governor. I mean,
no.
Like, some lieutenant governors in recent history have made some mistakes. I remember Rebecca Clayfish said some really kind of outlandish anti-gay things when Scott Walker was running for governor.
And yeah, she compared it to marrying a lamp, I believe.
Or a table or something
like that. Or a table,
yeah. I think Mandela Barnes rubbed some people the wrong way.
He was going on Russian TV.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about how bad the cops were here. And
unpaid property taxes, too. And then I think back to Barb Loughton, who was Jim Doyle's lieutenant governor. And she had that disastrous film tax credit she lobbied for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of a joke when it was all said and done. So Sara Rodriguez hasn't messed up much, which puts her ahead of some recent lieutenant governors.
I guess we could mention that Ryan Strnad.
Oh, he's got a strange consonant in the wrong part of his name, right?
Strnad. We'll have to figure out how to say his name, or maybe we won't.
I don't think we have to worry about it too much, Scott.
McGuanago guy who he sells beer at American Family Field. And
I'm pro that. Like, I am a supporter of his profession.
They never sell the craft beer, though. They always sell the macro, watered-down beer.
Well, you know, beggars and choosers, Scott. Beggars and choosers.
Well, you get to choose there if you actually want to
not
walk.
Not if you want to get up out of your seat.
I don't see him being much of a factor. If you're super rich, I guess you can run without ever holding public office. But unless you're super rich, that's a pretty hard thing to do. If you haven't even been a village trustee or
dog catcher, right?
Yeah,
do you still like dog catchers?
I don't know. There's probably some place out there where you get elected dog catcher.
Ryo.
And we'll talk about some other Democrats who are probably running, but let's just talk about the two quickly, the Republicans who are already in the race and were in the race before Tony Evers said he was leaving. I don't know whether they should laugh or cry about that.
I think cry.
Well, Josh Shulman. Unlike Trump, I don't think he is a showman. I don't think he's all that Trumpy. He seems all pretty reasonable, actually. He's the guy who's been the Washington County executive.
We published an op-ed from him about housing and how they were doing some pretty, you know, common sense reforms to make housing more affordable in Washington County, right?
Yeah, you and I were impressed by that. He served in Iraq way back in the day. He was a janitor.
A
former janitor myself, I'm liking the sound of that. But Trump's not going to like this. He lives on a lavender farm. That's not very manly.
That's not super tough.
But he served in Iraq, so.
Without bone spur.
He's certainly tougher than you and I.
Or Trump.
Or especially Trump.
Especially Trump.
Anyway, he may be able to tout a strong record in Washington County. It is one of the wow counties, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a wow county. Yeah, it's.
So he'd have that suburban vote, maybe. But you also have Bill Berrien running, who's similarly a military guy. He was a Navy SEAL. He's a businessman from Whitefish Bay, who runs a manufacturing company in New Berlin.
Manufacturer, Scott.
Yeah.
He's a manufacturer.
And, well, that's right in the old school Republican wheelhouse. I don't know if it is these days with Trump fighting trade wars. Nonetheless, that guy's got a lot of money, Bill Berrien. I could see him having a good shot at the nomination normally. I mean, it seems like rich business executives are winning a lot of Republican nominations.
And as far as I can tell, unlike Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels, he actually lives in Wisconsin. So there's a check mark in his box for giving him a chance. You know, he seems like he's the Trumpy candidate. I mean, of the two candidates who are announced for the Republican Party right now, he seems like he's kind of a shoo-in for the nomination just because of who's going to vote in a primary for a GOP governor's race.
Well, that's what I thought, too. But then one of the right-wing radio guys outed him as having supported Nikki Haley.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You mean he's got conservative principles?
So that's a big rhino in the irrational world of Republican politics. Now, he's apparently said that was a mistake, but that might be a tough thing when you wonder if Trump's going to come in and endorse somebody.
Well, Trump did that 4 years ago when he endorsed Tim Michaels in the primary. And it's
Michaels won.
Michaels won, hands down. You know.
And Clayfish, who was running also, was never that Trumpy.
No,
and it cost her, unfortunately.
The person who's going to win the Republican nomination for governor is whoever Trump endorses.
And speaking of which, let's just jump to Tom Tiffany, who recently went to the White House to talk to Trump about whether he would run for Wisconsin governor.
Oh, yeah.
And afterwards, he said that Trump was most interested in keeping control of the House.
Oh, really?
Not really concerned about Tom Tiffany or who was going to run for governor. But Tom Tiffany said that he told him, well, his seat's gonna in northern Wisconsin is going to be Republican either way.
Which seems to be the case.
He's probably right, but I don't know. If Trump says, eh, let's just win the House, I guess he's not going to run.
No, no.
Because then he wouldn't get the endorsement. No. I think if Tiffany got it, he could. Now, Tiffany, gee, I wrote down all their ages here, and I haven't even been saying them. Tom Tiffany was 67. He ran an oil company in northern Wisconsin for a while before he got in the tourism business.
I didn't know we had oil companies in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, some petroleum. I think they're more distribution than pumping into the ground. But Tom Tiffany, I mean, what a yes man for Trump. He was even prepared to vote against counting Wisconsin's electoral votes when Trump lost.
Yeah, he put Trump ahead of the people of Wisconsin
more
than once.
But
so.
That's a big feather in his cap if he's trying to get Trump's endorsement. So you get somebody like Tom Tiffany running and an endorsement from Trump. That would probably clear
the field. Yeah, absolutely.
The other Republican who's being floated pretty seriously is Senator Mary Felskowski from Tomahawk, 61. I'm mentioning ages now. Best known in Madison as favoring medical marijuana.
Yeah, she's one of the more moderate members of the Republican caucus in the Senate. So,
or at least libertarian. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Depends on how you look at it. Northwoods.
Live and let live, old school.
She was in the insurance business. She would also be the first female governor were she to win. Not all that much name recognition. Not like a Tom Tiffany.
No, no. But she's got probably better name recognition than either Berrien or Showman.
Yeah, and by the way, Berrien's 56 and Showman's 43.
Okay, thanks, Scott. So Showman's the youngest one of them.
Did I say David Crawley's 39 and Sarah Rodriguez is 50?
Okay.
A couple other Democrats who would seem likely to get in, Josh Call, 44, the attorney general. I mean, kind of like Tom Tiffany, but on the Democratic side. I think Josh Call is best positioned just because he has run statewide a couple times.
One.
And one. I think he's best positioned, particularly with Trump and the tough-on-crime attitude that the other side is putting, because traditionally, anyway, I understand traditional politics are thrown on their head by Trump, but less so in midterm elections, which should favor Democrats, because historically they do when the president is in power.
And obnoxious.
He's the sitting attorney general, sort of the quote-unquote top cop of Wisconsin. He can point to putting people behind bars and cracking down on criminals, and he doesn't have to get into all the messy debates over legislation that lawmakers have to.
He hasn't had a lot of bad votes.
And he's filed a heck of a lot of lawsuits against the Trump administration, which on the left will give him a lot of cred.
Yeah.
There were some that didn't like that he hadn't prosecuted the fake electors.
To the fullest extent of the law, yeah.
On the Republican side. But I think he's got a lot of lawyers behind him who are a big Democratic constituency. A lot of them are, and they got a lot of money. He would be the first governor of color. His father was from India.
Okay.
Even though his mother was Peg Lautenschlager,
former
Attorney General. One of the Rising of the 9-10 jinx.
Does that mean I can't talk to you? Say my name, Scott?
Yes. Phil Hance.
It's going to be a boring podcast.
What do you think? I mean, he just seems the best position to me. He seemed pretty good talking. I'm not sure he's all that exciting.
He's got the best resume of anybody running who could run, just statewide name recognition. I don't know if he's made a reputation for himself as a fighter, the way people want a fighter nowadays. Now, I don't know if Crowley or Rodriguez have, but they haven't not done that. I think he's done enough where he hasn't pursued Trump to the fullest extent of the law possible, which might make people think that he was sort of a little bit soft and not itching for a fight the same way.
But he can probably point to 50 lawsuits.
He probably can, but maybe there's a couple of handful of instances where people are going to say, well, he could have done this and he didn't do that.
Yeah.
So that's my knock on calls. I think people might say there isn't a fire in his belly to get Trump the way they want him to have it.
I still go back to the meekest, quietest candidate won the last time, Tony Evers.
Yeah.
The unpolitician won, and I attribute that to years of running statewide as the school superintendent, winning and being kind of positive in a Trump environment. And if name recognition is important, and it is, I just don't know how he's not in the top tier.
Oh, he is in the top tier. I wasn't going to argue with that. I was finding a negative and a positive about each candidate, Scott.
Yeah. Kelda Royce, boy, it would seem like Senator Royce would jump in on this. I know she's lost some races in the past, previously for governor, previously for Congress, but she's a polished candidate, probably would come across as a fighter, and is a woman in a field that probably will have more men than women.
Yeah, she would stand out. You know, I think she comes across as polished and progressive, which is a good combination for a Democratic candidate.
And Madison.
And, yeah, I mean,
she's from Madison. She's through and through lawyer and East High. She represents Madison. But in a Democratic primary, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
I mean, she has a lot of recognition in and around Madison. To some degree, she would across the state just because she ran for governor once and actually didn't do too bad.
No. I would see her as a good candidate, probably just as high name recognition as Sarah Rodriguez, honestly.
Better, I would say. She would be excellent on the abortion issue in terms of abortion rights.
If that's an issue in this election.
Yeah, that seems like that's been a little
nullified. The Supreme Court
nullified.
Might have made that not an election or an issue anymore.
Yeah. She used to run the NARAL, pro-choice statewide group.
Yeah. Now, she's strong on that issue. Anytime she runs, we should remember that she tried to out-gay Mark Pocan when she ran for Congress that one time.
Previously thrown out was Ben Wickler, the former chair of the Democratic Party. I don't know about that.
I mean, the Democratic Party hasn't had a whole lot of success recently. Ben Wickler would talk about, hey, I won almost all these statewide elections in years where Trump was very unpopular and Democrats cleaned up across the country.
And you'd have the insider tag all over you.
Yeah.
And he didn't become, he's best known. What is he best known for? Running and losing to be the national Democratic Party head. I don't see much coming out of that.
No, I think, and middle-aged white guy is not what Democrats want nowadays.
But speaking of middle-aged white guys, on the Republican side, once again, Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels being floated.
Are they really?
Yeah, they still have the money.
They still have the money.
They do have name recognition, although they both lost.
And they still don't live in Wisconsin.
So
here's a news flash to Republicans. How about you pick a candidate who actually lives in the state they're running for?
Well, so far they got two of them, Phil. I suspect this will get, at least on the Democratic side, pretty crowded in the Democratic primary just because Democrats are supposed to have a good year. It's an off year. Some of the Trump voters are thought to not come out and vote when Trump's not on the ballot. Historically, Democrats should have a resurgent year because Republicans are in power, so the midterm should favor them. But, you never know.
You never know.
The Democrats flipped that script around when they did really well in Biden's midterm.
Yeah, in 2022, and which is why Biden ran again, which is why we have Trump as president. So if only the Democrats would have failed more in 2022, maybe our country would be in a better spot.
It seems to me at this stage, Josh Call and Tom Tiffany are the strongest potential candidates.
I won't argue with that. I have heard very good things about Crowley. Crowley would add a lot of young, he's 39, it's young energy, which is kind of what the party's after.
Missy Hughes is another name being floated on the Democratic side. She leads the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and previously ran Organic Valley, a dairy cooperative in southwest Wisconsin. She's an impressive person.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of the candidates out there and see if they have a little pizzazz and some charisma. Because I don't feel like I have a gauge on that.
No.
I've seen them on the news, TV news a little bit. I read about them in the newspaper, but I don't really have a sense of their presence.
Yeah, we've met Josh Call in person a couple of times for endorsement meetings. And he's an engaging, likable person in a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But so,
and he'd be great debating.
Yeah.
He'd do excellent at the debates.
But Tony Evers was engaging and likable in a meeting too. But you get him in front of a TV camera and it was boring old Tony again.
Yeah.
And I think Democrats are going to win. They've had 8 years of Tony. He was great at having a steady hand and keeping the state on the right path. But I think Democrats are ready to be excited by somebody again.
I think Tony Evers is 73.
Thanks, Scott. Phil Hands, 44.
Scott Milford, 56.
Good Lord, Scott. You are pushing that middle-aged title.
Phil, I got my first senior discount at the Badgers softball game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got in for like, I don't know if it was $1 or $2. It was, yeah, 55 and older.
That's great.
So
Milk it, man.
I have now received one senior discount.
Good for you.
Which makes me older than most of the candidates being talked about for governor.
Except Tom Tiffany. Is it me or does 67 seem kind of old to run for governor?
It does, but it seems incredibly young to run for president. Our theme music is by Tube Tester.